Well, good morning. This is Rob Knapp. Who's on, please? Hi, who's on?
Rhett.
Hey, Rhett. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. Tracy's not here today. She had scheduled to take Veterans Day off.
Okay.
Well in advance of well in advance of the Supernova project, but I don't think that would have prevented her from taking it off.
That's funny. So do we have any managers on?
Nope, just me so far.
Okay. All right, terrific. Well, how was your week and what's on your mind?
Well, the homework had to do with reducing the number of clients, and I thought with my clients being at around 108, 109, that was less important for me than duplicating my best clients. It also had to do with I do about, just so you know where my business is, I do about 400,000 a year, a little bit more than that maybe. But my concern is, too, even if I give away the smaller accounts, initially there's a penalty box at about 360. And I did add up those lower clients that I would not want to duplicate. So I kind of looked at them. If I don't want to duplicate them, I probably don't want them in the long run. But I didn't like the idea of giving them up because the hit that I would take and I realize that may not be the long-term goal, but I thought in the short term it would be a mistake to get rid of them. I wanted your thoughts on that.
It's all about time, Rhett. If you have all the time in the world, then you're good. And
well, I don't, but I have 100. And when I kind of thought that when we sat down to learn how to do the scheduling, which, by the way, was phenomenal.
Oh, great.
That you could see the whole basis of it was 100 clients. You know, that the way it worked, 5 clients a day, 20 a week, 100 a month, every client gets contacted in some way, shape, or form every month. And so I thought I could do that because, and then eventually I'll have to get to the point where, if I'm taking on my minimum or above, eventually I'm going to have 110, 115, 120 clients, and then I'll have to start doing something with the lower bunch.
Right. So at 100, here's what a lot of guys, I mean, here's the way it should end up. You should end up with about 80 clients and about 20 prospects.
Okay.
In the scheduler. Okay, and you put those in just like you would clients, and you call them once a month, and you get them as clients. That's the eventual thing. So when you think about, okay, I'm going to bring in, 10 or 15 new clients this year, then you really should be thinking about, one for one. All right, I don't want to ever be more than 100 at the max. I really want to get down to 90 or 80. I don't want to build it up to 115. I want to
start. So when I get a new client, I need to make sure I'm getting rid of another one. Okay.
Exactly. And if you have 108, I would look at those 8, and most of the time there's 8 people in there that's not going to affect our revenues. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They wouldn't. They wouldn't.
Right.
Okay. So we're on the same page. I thought it was, when we were looking at that schedule, I thought it kind of galvanized it for both of us. Because when she looked at the numbers, and we love the fact the scheduler is part of it, because, particularly Tracy, because she was like, okay, so I'm going to have to remember to go out and, a month from now, 3 months from now, 6 months from now. And when she found out it did it for her, she was thrilled. I mean, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but she was happy about it.
Right. And it's funny. A lot of people just kind of poo-poo the scheduler and don't use it. And I'm like, what the heck?
No.
We spent a lot of money on that, trying to figure out, you know, that was the genius of Supernova to start with. Everybody thought, give me the scheduler, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the way we looked at it. And she was a little concerned about getting on every day. And I said, no, that's not the way it's going to work. We're going to have a paper that they supply, which she showed her. And we're going to write it. And then once a day, you're going to go on and, you know, as we build this thing out, go on and put in the appointments. So you're not going back and forth. So that was kind of, yeah. We were both pretty excited about it. That was the single most, I would say, other than the overall goal in setting that up, that was so far for me, that was a pretty galvanizing event when we looked at that schedule and how it worked. So that's the first thing. The second thing was to make you aware of, we are a small office up here. There is no one. I know this is going to sound maybe a little funny, but there's no one that would take the clients I would be giving away. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At least not currently.
Yeah.
So I know that there's a call center. And you're right, for eight or so, I'm not even sure the call center would work, but, you know.
Right.
But, so I think that they were very, I don't know if that's necessarily going to work. I know there's a partnership that I don't know if he and I will end up partnering or not. Mm-hmm. His current partner is retiring. So that may work, but I don't know. Other than that, we're a lot of, I know Rob likes to say he's part of a team, but it's more like a joint. I think I don't think they run it like a team, if that makes sense, using the Supernova platform or anything else. They're not on Supernova, but that's just my impression. So we have a lot of single advisors. There's only one younger than I am, and I'm 53, and he's, you know, 48.
Wow.
So it's a little nerve-wracking when we look at where the size of our office was. You know, when you first came out with Supernova over at Merrill, the Merrill office here had 35 to 40 advisors. I think it's got 8 now.
Really? You know what I mean?
And they're managing more money. The office itself is managing more money. But they're doing it with 8 advisors or 9 advisors and not 35. It's kind of weird, isn't it?
Is that the same thing for your office? Was that the same thing for your office? Did you guys shrink too?
We were never as big as that, but I would say it's kind of funny because we lost a fairly large producing advisor to Raymond James a little over a year ago. And within the first year, even though we were small, our production, we made up for his loss of production, and he was probably the biggest producing advisor in the office at the time. Which, you know, he did close to $1 million, and then within a year we'd made up that revenue. So, and he didn't have I don't want to say he had an impossible time of getting his clients. We kept quite a number of them, but I would imagine that would probably have fallen right down in industry norms. But there's, when I look around the office, there's 1, 2, 3. There's 6 advisors here, and we're about to lose one to retirement. So we'll be 5. So, and we did have a younger one, but he wasn't part of a team, and he couldn't. Most of the programs, too, that bring new advisors in these days are geared toward them being in some sort of team. It's very hard for an advisor to make it on his own.
Yep.
You know, I would say. Well, that's just my opinion. What do I know? But the interesting thing, well, you know, because he kept asking, you know, we're a bunch of guys who've been, you know, we're close to 50 years old. And when he would ask us, well, how did you do your, but he can't do what we did. You know, we cold called.
I know. Right.
Broke out the phone book, dialed for dollars, did all that kind of fun stuff. And I mean, nobody liked doing it. And I would challenge the honesty of anybody who told you they did.
Yeah, right.
But he couldn't do that now. And and he didn't. He failed to take our advice, which was, look, you have a couple of really good clients. Duplicate them. Go for rollovers.
Right.
Get the $250,000 to $300,000 account. Work your ass off to get those. And his solution was he wanted to go after a 401k business and all that kind of stuff. And we were like, that's like shooting at elephants, and you don't have the experience to get in the room. But what do we know? Anyway, I like the idea of I need to develop more in professional referrals, of a referral network, both natural and professional. I don't have a lot of that going on. I've got one attorney and one CPA, and I think I refer them more business than they refer back to me. So I was wondering if you had a solution. The one attorney I'm thinking of, she's a really good estate planning attorney.
Mm-hmm.
But I probably referred to her a dozen, maybe more clients in the last 2 years, and I don't think I've gotten maybe one referral from her. And
well,
I know they're there.
Yeah. Well, we'll have fun with that.
Okay.
How about the CPA? Is that more reciprocal?
Yeah, it is. It's. I would say that's on an even keel. The funny thing is, I don't refer him as much as I do to her, because my client, you know, I find a client that needs that.
Right.
And most of them have CPAs, that sort of thing. But anyway, the other thing was 1 hour responses. I like that. 24-hour resolution. That sound. How when you're talking to the other advisors, how attainable is that? Because in some of the instances, you're relying on our back office staff, and they don't always come through.
All right.
But are you?
It's the 80-20 rule.
Okay.
80% of the time, you're going to get it resolved in 24 hours.
Okay. And the 20, I would assume you'd reach out and say, I've run into this, explain what's going on, keep them up to date, and let them know you'll be in touch as soon as you get an answer within the next, you know. Is that how you handle it?
You nailed it, exactly.
Okay.
And that is so much better than what we do, typically.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it goes into the black void. The client doesn't know when it's going to get fixed. You guys don't know, so you don't tell the client. So then they just wait for the next statement, or hopefully,
and then they realize the problem hasn't been resolved.
And then they call
or not.
You.
Yeah.
Right. And then they call you, and you go, "Oh crap! I thought that got resolved because you gave it to your sales assistant, and she thought that you were following up, and she didn't." And blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
So when we pin it down to 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution, it just brings everybody into the game, right? Everybody's like, okay, no problem is a small problem. Everything's important, and we're going to get them done and tell the client.
Well, in our system, it gives me an opportunity when I give my assistant a task to give her a done date, you know, and if I can always make it, you know, ask me to rank it as far as immediate, you know.
And that's the advantage. That's the advantage.
I can always make it the next day.
Right.
Okay. I got the wall around your clients. I did not understand, and maybe you could clarify the stair steps to the stars.
Yeah, that's what you don't have there.
Oh, okay. What is it? What exactly is it?
Let's deal with your minimum, We talked about your max, but we haven't talked about your minimum. So if you take your production and divide it by the 100, what number do you come up with?
It comes down. It came down to like $345,000.
Okay.
Is what it came
to. So we'll say $400,000 is your
minimum.
Absolute minimum, right?
Okay.
All right. And then the top 20% of your, so it'd be take the average of your top 20 clients, And what does that look like?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, the average of my top 20 was 300 and was the 348. So
okay.
Is that the?
That's your target.
That's my target.
And your absolute minimum would be the average. It just take your total production and divide it by 100. Didn't you tell me you did about 400,000?
Yep, that's right. So if I divide it by 100, that's too small, right?
Yeah.
So let's see, 400. Yeah, so what I had in mind was my target would be 350, and my absolute minimum would be 200.
All right, so we don't want to use those numbers. Those are too small.
Okay, all right, what do we want to use?
We want to use, like, absolute minimum 500,000. I mean,
okay.
The new supernova, you want to raise the game, right? You want to
right.
You want to be the biggest producer in. Who's the biggest producer in your office now?
Rob.
And how much does he do?
I think the team does about 1.2 million, 1.3 million.
So you want to do more than they're doing, okay?
Okay.
By yourself.
Gotcha.
All right, so you're going to make it 500,000 absolute minimum, and make it 1 million as your target minimum, okay?
Okay.
That's who you're after, because we want you to grow. We want you to
right.
think bigger
okay.
and really grow. I mean, because, you know, you've been around, right? So,
yeah. Scares the shit out of me a little bit.
Good. That's
all
the
right.
idea. That's why I say that. I don't want you to be comfortable here.
All right.
But everything we do is geared around, you know, larger clients. And
gotcha.
That'll be good for you.
Okay.
All right. So when we think about that now, is most of your business fee-based business now?
Yeah, well over 90%.
Okay, good. So we're really talking about 500,000 and 5,000 in revenues, right?
Right.
In fee, and 1 million or 10,000. Okay. So
is that an either or thing? Like if I have a client that's
no.
Okay. All right. It's not. All right. Got it.
Right. What you do is you go to your CPA and your attorney and everybody else, and you say, look, you know, the good news, bad news. The good news is business has been good. The bad news is I'm too busy. And so I hired a consultant, and we're looking at the practice, and this is what we've come up with. Okay. This is the plan going forward. And you'll like this, Mr. CPA or attorney. We're going to have less than 100 clients maximum, so we can give them an extraordinary experience. So every client's going to get a financial plan, multi-generational planning with full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of the plan, 2 of them in person, and then rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? Now, when you're recruiting, when you're prospecting, you go, how does that compare to what you're getting now? And the person goes, I haven't heard from my guy in 5 years, you know. So it's a great thing to share. Your clients are going to be, your CPAs and attorneys and clients are going to be all excited but they're also going to be worried, like, oh, God, am I part of this? And you go,
okay.
you're pleased to know that, yes, you are part of it, but in order to do this, we have to be really organized because I'm going to call you every month. Now, my obligation, obviously, is to send you an agenda the date, time, agenda of what we're going to talk about, your obligation is to let me know if you can't be there. All right, so let me know right away, and we'll either reschedule, or if it's not urgent, we'll bump it to the next month.
Okay.
All right, so
that card was very nice too, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the fact you could attach it to any email that I send out to them as kind of like a reminder was pretty good.
Good. You'll like.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we have all these tricks. You know, we have all these.
Hello?
Great. Can you hear me?
Rob?
You there? Yep. Can you hear me? Uh-oh. Can you hear me? Hello? Did I get bumped or did you?
I think you did, but...
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what happened,
okay.
But that's all right. I had a question. Oh, the card. You can attach it to the bottom of any email and, you know, kind of give them a constant reminder of when their appointments are.
Right.
That's pretty
neat.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, good.
I'm trying to figure out a way that I can put it on the bottom of my automatic signature. I'm not technologically savvy enough to do it.
Yeah, I don't know that. That's funny.
Anyway.
All right. So
okay.
Are you comfortable with the folders? Do you understand what the value is of the folders?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
And
we'll
go through them in detail and show it because there's some brilliant things that we've come up with from those things. And not because of me, but just talking with FAs, brainstorming, you know, they come up with ideas, I come up with ideas. One of the things that they like a lot is to send out the 24-month calendar ahead of time to their clients so that the clients can see that there's going to be a robust agenda for conversations and education in the future.
Okay.
And it's not just you selling them something, you know,
right.
Or you know, just bugging them. It's this has got a purpose. It's organized. And then you start to send it. Because what you're going to get is some people are going to say, you don't need to call me that much, you know, and I only want to.
Yeah, I know. I already get that.
Right. And you just say, look, you know, here's what we're doing. This is as much educational as it is as anything else. And we really need you to be on these calls. And here's what we'll do. We'll do it for the next 6 months. And at the end of 6 months, if you don't like it or you don't see the value in it, then we'll cut it back. But up until then, I'd like you to just bear with me. And they'll be like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a thing that I always I usually use it when I'm looking at couples because I find that one usually takes the wheel and the other one kind of does not. And early in my career, I got hurt by that. Not to where I lost any assets, but I lost the opportunity for assets. And it was from a woman by the name of Gabby. Oh, she used to work at Vanguard. Now she's a complex manager for Merrill Lynch. Her, what she would look at him and say is, look, you don't have to drive the financial car, but you can't ride around in the trunk. And that kind of puts it, galvanizes it for a lot of partners, you know, like a lot of husband and wife teams or where one is in driving the car and the other one, it doesn't really seem to want to have anything to do with it until you tell them that you cannot ride around in a trunk. And you have clients that want to ride around in the trunk.
No,
you just go ahead and do it. I can't do it that way. I don't want to do it that way. You know, get out of the trunk and hop up into the car. Anyway, but I thought that was really... Go ahead.
This will help you with the agenda and all that, the executive summary. They're all, I mean, people that have money have typically been on boards or they understand how boards work. And so what we say is, look, you're the CEO of your company. This is your money. You've earned it. It's your responsibility ultimately. I'm your chief financial officer. I'm your CFO. We meet monthly and make sure everything is going well. If you owned a corporation, you would certainly meet with your CFO at least monthly, if not more than that. You would have a board meeting. If it's a public company, you would have it once a month. So we're going to have it once a month. It doesn't have to last a long time. But we'll have an agenda, and we'll go through the agenda to determine who is going to do what and what is the time frame for doing that. And then I will send you an executive summary as to what we agreed on and whose responsibility and what the timeline looks like. That will keep us both on track and make sure that we are the most successful we can be in this company, right?
Right.
And that's,
gotcha.
That's what you want. And they like that, okay? And,
right.
your spouse is the vice president of the company.
Gotcha. All right. That works.
All right. So, I think that kind of explains why are we doing all this. And let's face it, somebody with a $500,000 rollover, it's not as important. But somebody with $10 million that's really dealing with a lot of moving parts and kids and trusts and things, there's a lot going on.
Gotcha.
And so that's what this is built for. The others get a kind of a free ride. They're getting a lot more than they're paying for, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea. So that's why I want to upgrade your portfolio of clients as soon as we can, because what we're going to be delivering is something really attractive.
Okay.
So
all right.
Yeah.
And you cannot do it if you're, yeah, I got it.
You're going to get,
great.
Yeah, you're going to get frustrated doing 1242s with people with a $500,000 rollover and that's it. They're never going to get any more money. They don't refer you to anybody and, it's not going to be complicated. So we want to get out of that business and on to the business of, but what was the stair step to the stars? The stair step to the stars is you have $1 million minimum, your buddy has a $500,000 minimum, and the next guy has a $250,000 minimum. But they're all doing Supernova. Now when you get to retire a client to them, they're going to still get Supernova service just with a different minimum. So you'll move you'll move up to $1.5 million and then $2 million and $2.5 million and so forth. So you want to have some buddies there that you can refer clients to, and so they keep getting that same level of service.
Okay. All right.
So that's the stair step to the stars.
All right. Okay. I got it.
So,
thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And I guess we don't have a call next week.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Let me look.
We don't.
Next one's
on the 25th.
Terrific. All right. So that gives you a little more time to get those 8 clients out of there and get your folders and get all squared away.
Yep. Will do. Okay.
Terrific.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks very much.
Yep.
Enjoyed it.
You bet.